Today we're learning in Parshas Maaseh, the section of Shlishi. And it's very interesting to see how relevant to today's situation that we face in Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz HaKodesh. And of course, all of our prayers and our thoughts are with our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael. And we pray to Hashem that He should grant great success to the Israeli soldiers who are fighting to protect Eretz Yisrael and all the Jewish people. And so we read in this beginning of Shlishi today, so this is the words, I'm going to just say the words from the Pasuk. Hashem speaks to Moshe on the plains of Moab while he is by the Jordan River, the Jordan of Yerechai, saying, what does Hashem say to him? Hashem says to him, speak to the Bnei Yisrael and this say to them, you are going through the Jordan to the land of Canaan. Now, why is Hashem telling him again that you're going over the Jordan? Hashem said it many times. So Rashi points out, Hashem is saying to him that you should know that the success that you are going to have and the miracle that God is going to perform for you, that the Jordan River is going to stop and you're going to be able to pass, is based and is conditioned on the following. And that's why the Pasuk says it again. The Torah says like this, V'hoirashtem es kol yoshvei ha'oretz mipneichem. You shall chase out all the inhabitants of the lands from before you. Chase them out. And the Pasuk goes on to tell you too that you shall destroy their houses of worship. You should destroy all their images, their molten images. You should destroy, and all their right, their whole place, their raised places, you should destroy. And then the Pasuk again says, the only way for you to sit in the land, the verse says, is if you chase them out, as Rashi interprets, if you chase them away, then you will successfully be able to sit in there, because I've given you the land as an inheritance. And the Torah then later on goes on at great length. And it also gives you the negative. It tells you first the positive, what you must do. And the Torah warns you right away. And it says, V'im lo yistoyrish es yoshvei ha'aretz mipneichem, if you will not chase them away, then this is what's going to happen, the Torah says. V'hoya asher tisiru mehem, those that you leave over will become lisikim be'einechem, they will be thorns in your eyes, ulitzininim b'tzideichem, and also in your sides. Rashi teaches mesuchas koitzim, either the tzininim lisikim be'einechem, Rashi says they will be like pegs in your eyes, and they will be like tzininim with the thorns on your side. And the Pasuk says v'tzoraru eschem, they will cause you trouble. They will make you difficulty. In the land that you're sitting in. And then finally, the Pasuk says, this which I thought and I wanted to do to them, I will do to you. Seems like a very, very strong and a very, very harsh words. And especially the last sentence over here, Kasha Demisi Lasis Lahem Es Elohem. The Rebbe, in situations like we were faced, like this, the Rebbe always warned, the Rebbe always suggested, and the Rebbe cried and screamed and said that Israel needs to move quickly. They need to move quickly. The longer that it takes, the more time it takes, the more pressure there is on Israel, the more casualties there are. They need to work very quickly. But the Torah quickly, clearly states over here that if you don't chase them away and you don't get rid of them, then they will continue to be a trouble on your side. There will be thorns, there will be peg in your eyes, there will be thorns to your side. So this is the, I think, the Eibishter is helping. Of course, every life that is lost is a aveda that is not replaceable. Especially, you talk about, there's some Americans, they call them in Israel, they call them the lone soldiers, they call them. Those are American young people, teenagers, just finished high school, who voluntarily go to Eretz Yisrael, they go to Israel, and they go to fight in the army over there. And a lot of times, and then the one particularly who fell in the first major battle that took place on Sunday was an American who just very recently went for his birthright. He went to Eretz Yisrael, and he decided a half a year later that he's going to go and he's going to enlist in the Israeli army. So while the Israeli public is mandatory for them to service in the army, but of course here you have a individual who literally devoted his life to protect the Jewish people so that everybody else can live in freedom and in peace. And unfortunately, in this case, they've actually given up their lives. And we have to make sure that they've given up their lives was not in vain, and that the goal and the objective of once and for all chasing out these anti-Semites, because it's quite clear that we live in a very anti-Semitic world, unfortunately. That's the reality. The whole world is only concerned and try to point a finger. And every time when they say Israel has a right to defend itself, and then they add, but the casualties, as if to say that they care more about the casualties than the Israelis. So that's the implying, yes, you can defend yourself, and but to make no casualties. It's like, who are they kidding? You know, they're trying to tell them Israel is doing, and our soldiers, and there's testimony that some of the Palestinians are holding babies while they're charging against the Israeli soldiers, and they know that the Israeli soldier is not going to shoot on the baby. That's what they use for their defense. So they keep on saying, yes, you have a right to defend yourself, but how am I going to defend myself? We're not killing no civilians, but they're using them as shields. They're coming. And if these civilians are, on their own free will, coming and staying against the advice of the warnings that they're giving, so then they're part of the combatants. If they're involved in the war, then they're part of it. Then they're a legitimate target. But everybody knows that, and it's been said so many times from all the officers of the armies and the prime minister, everybody has said, we are trying to minimize and we're trying to protect civilian lives as much as possible. We know that. And then they tell you, oh, you know, defend yourself, but what? But how are you going to defend yourself against such ruthless terrorists who are using human shields? How are we supposed to protect ourselves? They keep on shooting. What are we supposed to do? Somehow kill them without... So what should you do? We should kill 1,000 soldiers and let them kill all of our soldiers? I mean, what should we do? So it's a very painful situation. We have to know we live in a anti-Semitic world. That's just the bottom line of it. And it is a history, unfortunately, of the Jewish people. But Baruch Hashem, Hashem has helped us that we're in a situation that we can fight back. So we have to do the best we can to try to protect ourselves and the Jewish people. And I have here living with us in Sharon was a young man who enlisted in the Israeli army. He left for Israel, enlisted in the army. Just got married about a month ago. I mean, this is, you know, really to think about it. He just got married a month ago. And of course, now with the war, he was mobilized. And in Israel, doesn't apply the law we have in the Chumash that Shona Achas Yenoki Lebeisei, that he gets 1 year that he's free. That doesn't apply in Israel law. It doesn't apply. Afilu Chosen May Chupasei. This becomes a Melchemes Mitzvah sort of, where the rules are different than the ordinary rules. So he has he's gone out, and he's the head of a group over there. And in order for them to, so he has like 6 or 7 soldiers with him. And they're going into the different homes, and the terrorists, they booby-trapped all the homes, everything. So the way they do it is they have to kick in the door. So they go in, they kick in the door, and something explodes over there, and then hopefully that it becomes clear, and then you go in together with the group. So being the head, so he already got wounded in his leg from some shrapnel that flew. So he went, he called his mother, and he told her that he's home, and he's going to the hospital to get himself sewn up, and the next day he's going back to Gaza to continue fighting over there. So these are our brave young men and soldiers. They're doing what the Pasuk says, Varashtem es kol yeshvei ha'aretz. In this case, not sure that that's the Aretz, exactly where the gvulis are, where the territory is, where it ends, but certainly to get rid of these blatant, you know, anti-Semites who are, you know, some of them open, some of them are hidden, some of them talk about both sides of their mouths. But it couldn't be, one would think, couldn't be any more just cause. How do you, Israel pulled out of the Gaza, there is no territorial question over there, given back before the 67 war. So they have no axe to grind with Israel at all. There's no territory over here involved. They don't want a territory. All what they really want is to terrorize Israel, and they want Jewish blood. That's all what they want. There is nothing else over here. And they're using their own people to sort of kill them so that they can have their propaganda machine going on and saying that Israelis want to kill the people. But we have this promise, and Verashtem es ha'aretz v'yishavtem bo, that when we get rid of them, then we will be able to sit in peace and quiet, is if we get rid of them. So sometimes there's no choice. And it's, I think, in Israel, at least the consensus of all of Israel, the people, is everybody's united, mostly. I'm sure there's always some Ipcha Mistavra, those who have to say the opposite, but most people understand and realize that we have no choice. In this case, there is no choice. We have to fight, we have to protect. This is it's a matter of life or death. It's either we're going to protect ourselves or we're going to fall prey to the soldier. And I think that everybody realized that in this case, we have to go to the end and whatever it takes. Hopefully that the Eibishter will help, that it won't take that much, that the Eibishter will help us, that maybe tonight they'll give them the final knock and something, throw down a few good bombs over there, and hopefully that they will be able to be victorious without any further bloodshed on both sides, because we're not looking to kill people, we're looking for them to stop what they're trying to do to us. And if we can achieve that goal, then we will be happy, and the Eibishter will help that this time of the 3 weeks will be turned into days of, instead of mourning, of Yom Tovim, and good and happy days. We hope that Mashiach will come, and then we'll solve us all the problems.